football on off the ball.
Toby, I'm just a little bit standoffish, to be honest. And I just said that to the lads in the dressing room. We're getting too much respect. And for me, on a football pitch, when you give teams too much respect, it's a fear. Yeah, didn't like it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Along to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we'll hear from Shell's boss Joey O'Brien after a better second leg against Carabag. We hear from Athlone Town captain Roisin Molloy after their impressive Champions League win over Cardiff. And what has Donald Trump's son Eric had to say regarding his appearance during Chelsea's Club World Cup trophy lift. First today though, and to Baku, where Shelburne were beaten 1-0 by Carabag, which ended their Champions League journey for 2025. A John Martin own goal in the first half was the difference on the night between the two sides. Shell's keeper Vessel Spale impressed on his debut, though he saved a second half penalty. Shell's boss Joey O'Brien told their in-house media channel he was impressed by his first outing in a Shell's jersey.
Yeah, without a doubt. Listen, as I said there, you want to tell the grandkids about for them, I suppose, when he his fourth game in European football, you know. So nah, I thought he was brilliant. I thought he had a real calmness. Managed the game well, slowed it down when he had to a little bit. Obviously then, yeah, made a couple of big saves and saved the penalty, I suppose, so great for him.
And Spale said he felt comfortable despite it being his European debut.
Yeah, no, good experience again. I felt calm going into the game. It's been a few weeks since I played my minutes, but I felt really solid. I felt confident and ready to go. I had a small shoulder injury, but I feel like that's recovered. So very, very happy to make my debut tonight.
Shells are beaten 4-0 over the two legs. O'Brien says that isn't the standard required at the League Champions.
Yeah, but as I said to them in there, we're not going to celebrate getting beat 4-0 either, Ben. That's not the standard that's been set at this football club, you know what I mean? So, it's a night where in this game, I suppose, this part of it, at the end there, it would have been nice to get an equaliser, I suppose, for this and getting that bit of confidence. But there has been a lot of positives. But ultimately, there's a hell of a lot of learnings in getting beat. And that understanding that if you give up poor chances and switch off for a moment, at this level, they make you pay, and when you get your chances, you've got to take them.
Shells will now face Croatian champions Rijeka in the third qualifying round of the Europa League. The first leg is away from home next Wednesday, but before that, Shells have an important league game away to Sligo Rovers on Saturday. O'Brien has added four new signings, including Spale. Jack Henry Francis, Milan Mbeng and Sean Moore have also joined, and he says he'll use the squad because he knows how important it is at the business end of the season.
Yeah, 100%, and I said that it's going to be the squad that's going to decide how far we go this season, you know. As you said, the game's now really come ticking fast. There's going to be no break at all, you know, and it's about every player in the squad. Lads that, excuse me, I've been disappointed with maybe that game time, when they take that up, when they get the opportunity to take it and believe that it's all about the squad, and ultimately that's going to decide how far we go. It's going to be the application and the quality of the squad.
Elsewhere in the Champions League qualifiers last night, the team that beat Rijeka after extra time, Ludogorets, will play Robbie Keane's Ferencvaros. Rijeka will be missing at least two key players. Gabriel Rukavina and Tony Fruk were both sent off last night. Keane's Hungarian champions beat FC Noah of Armenia 4-3 in Budapest with 6-4 on aggregate, which means they'll take on Ludogorets next Tuesday. Rangers drew 1-1 away to Panathinaikos to book their spot in the third qualifying round. They'll face Victoria Plzeňa. Tonight in Europe, attention turns to the fortunes of St. Pat's and Shamrock Rovers in the Conference League. St. Pat's are in Estonia to face Nama Kalju and lead 1-0 thanks to last week's late winner from Chris Forrester at Richmond Park. Kalju had two players sent off at more than 20 minutes to play. Stephen Kenny cited 23 shots on goal compared to Kalju's single effort. Kenny says despite the slender lead, it's still important to bring an advantage into the second leg.
Well, I think the fact that we're 9 men from 70 minutes on, but we left it late to close to the 90th minute to get the goal. So thankfully we did get the goal. We can look at it two ways. We missed chances. We would have preferred to be 2-0, of course, or more. But nevertheless, it was important to get that late goal, and it gives us an advantage.
If Pats can get through, they'll face the loser of the Europa League tie between Shakhtar Donetsk and Besiktas. The Ukrainian side hold a 4-2 advantage in that one. Kickoff in Estonia tonight is a 5:45. Shamrock Rovers have a comfortable 4-0 lead over St. Joseph's of Gibraltar with the second leg at Tallaght Stadium. Goals last week from Rory Gaffney, Danny Mandroyu, John McGovern and Jack Byrne have put Stephen Bradley's side firmly in the driving seat to advance, and the Rovers boss wants his side to win the game and keep their good form going.
Just win the game. It's really important we focus and try and win the game. Not just for ourselves, but you understand how important winning the game is for the coefficient and for the league in general. So it's really important that we go and try and win the game.
If Rovers advance as expected tonight, they'll play the winners of the tie between Maltese side Floriana and Kosovan outfit Balkany next week. Balkany are 4-2 up. The second leg is in Malta tonight. Elsewhere tonight, Dungannon and Swifts take a 1-0 lead into the second leg of their tie with FC Vaduz at Solitude in Belfast. That one starts at 7:45. Larne are in Kosovo to take on FC Pristina. It's nil all from the first leg. And Linfield, who were given a fine of €12,000 by UEFA for sectarian chanting and letting off fireworks in their home game against Shelburne in the Champions League, are at home to Lithuanian side Zalgiris. That's also nil all from the first leg. Troy Parrott will be hoping he can play a key role in turning around AZ Alkmaar's 4-3 deficit against Finnish side Ilves. That game is in the Netherlands. Athlone Town produced a famous European performance last night with a 4-0 win over Cardiff City in their Women's Champions League first qualifying round tie at Lissy Wullen. Almost 2,000 fans were in Athlone last night to see Colin Fortin's side dominate Cardiff from start to finish. They were full value for a win that sets them up for a first qualifying round final against Croatian champions Agram at the same venue this Saturday. Goals from Izzy Groves, 2 from Roisin Molloy and 1 from Hannah Vesh made it a memorable night for Athlone. And Athlone captain Roisin Molloy told Off the Ball's Eve Conway the club have come a long way in a short time.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so special for everyone and for the club. Like, it's unbelievable to only be in existence in the women's side for 5 years. The success that we've had, and it's all been aiming towards this, like to play in Europe, and that's what we're where we want to be, testing ourselves against these teams. So yeah, thanks to like even everybody last year contributed to us getting here. So yeah, it's been an amazing journey.
And manager Colin Fortin added he was delighted to see his side's hard work on the training ground come to fruition.
Yeah, no, it has, you know, and that's all down to the players as well. You know, we've changed a few things coming in. You know, I wanted to put my stamp on things. A few players have moved on. A few players have come in. You know, we're a different animal than what we are, what they were last year. You know, we're different. It's a different team altogether. We're more possession paced, and you know, and to be fair to the players, you know, they bought into that. They weren't saying, "Oh no, we didn't do that last year. This is the way we do things." They didn't do that. They were open. You know, they were willing to try something different. And you know, the level of performance in that first half showed that, because we were very, very good in possession of football in that first half. You know, some of the combinations and some of the attacking patterns was a joy to watch, and that's things we've been working on in training, and to see it come off in a match is brilliant. But to see it come off in a Champions League match at home, in front of a packed house, you know, that's really is dreams, what dreams are made of. And you know, I was delighted with that for the players.
Alexander Isak is training alone at his former club Real Sociedad's training facilities amid uncertainty over his Newcastle future with constant links to Liverpool. It's believed Newcastle are aware of Isak's whereabouts as he recovers from the minor thigh injury that the club say kept them out of travelling to Singapore for their pre-season tour. The former Sociedad striker is using the Basque club's facilities with a staff when they're empty for his recovery. If Isak were to leave Newcastle, Sociedad would receive 10% of every euro above a €70 million transfer fee. They'd also get 2% through FIFA's solidarity programme, so 0.5% for every season he was with the club. Isak joined Sociedad in 2019 from Borussia Dortmund. He spent 3 years with the La Liga side before he moved to Newcastle in the summer of 2022 for a club record fee of £63 million. Manchester United are prioritising a move for RB Leipzig striker Benjamin Šeško if they are to sign a frontman this summer. That's according to Laurie Whitwell of The Athletic. United have made informal contact with their Bundesliga counterparts after Šeško emerged as their preferred option. Newcastle are also interested in the 22-year-old as a potential replacement for Isak. Leipzig want a fee of €75 million plus add-ons, as well as a sell-on percentage for any deal for Šeško. United have also been linked with a move for Aston Villa striker Ollie Watkins. Now, Villa have reportedly inquired on the availability of Porto striker Samu Agahoa, who would cost around €70 million. Speaking on Wednesday's Off the Ball Breakfast, football writer Jonathan Wilson questioned why any player would want to go to United.
If you're Ollie Watkinson's buddy, advisor, confidant, do you say to Ollie, if it's true with these Manchester United links, go to Old Trafford?
No. I don't really understand why there is so much perceived urgency to get him out of Villa. I mean, why would it, Villa seems an exciting... I know they've slipped from the Champions League into the Europa League. That still seems an exciting project to me. I know that they've got a bit of PSR, you know, PSR problems, and maybe they want to get rid of Watkins to get some money in, just to sort of give themselves a bit more room. And I know he's obviously at his peak, or just maybe just past his peak, that there's no, you know, there's not going to be any further growth there. But why would you, unless the salary is enormous, why would you go to United? I don't understand. I mean, I don't understand what United are doing. I mean, I know I've said that pretty much every day for the last 15 or 10 years, but does anybody think centre forward was the biggest area where they had to, or you're that forward part of the pitch? I know Haaland hasn't worked. I know Xerxes hasn't really worked. But to bring in Kenya, to bring in Nbomo, to then try and bring in another centre forward, surely the problem is the back of midfield. I know Bruno Fernandes can play deeper, but I wouldn't have thought you wanted him playing deeper. I'd have thought you wanted something more dynamic there. And he, even if he is playing deeper, you've got to play somebody with that dynamism and that aggression alongside him, which, okay, Pete Casemiro might have had that. Casemiro, as he was able to play in the Europa League, where the pace is a bit lower, could do that. But Casemiro, as we've seen him in the Premier League, can't do that. So it baffles me that their priority has not been somebody really dynamic to play at the back of midfield. I have no idea what's going on, but I don't really understand anything at United anymore. So
to listen to more conversations like that, you can catch Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app. You can watch it as well on YouTube. And if you don't want to miss a single second of our football coverage, why not become a member and sign up ahead of the new Premier League season at offtheball.com/join. Now, United manager Ruben Amorim says his squad seems closer together ahead of the new season. Defender Luke Shaw praised his boss for ensuring there's no stragglers in the group ahead of their 4-1 friendly win against Bournemouth in Chicago. And Amorim agrees there is a change in attitude.
They are playing better also because they are connecting better with each other, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch. I think they are stronger, they are faster in this moment. Of course, it's a pre-season, but you can see the intensity is completely different.
And finally, after Donald Trump and his team stated they'd like to host one of the four golf majors, the Open, at their course in Scotland, Royal Turnberry, the US president's son, Eric, told BBC Sport that Chelsea invited his dad into their celebrations at the Club World Cup final. Alongside FIFA president Gianni Infantino, Trump found himself in the midst of the celebrations, something that Chelsea players Cole Palmer and Reece James seemed puzzled by in what became a highly politicised event. Trump's son, Eric, told BBC Sport's Dan Roan that he was invited, as according to them, it would have been the greatest honour of their life.
Do you think that the RNA may just be nervous about what they potentially see as the risk of a politicised event? There was a Club World Cup tournament stage in the US recently, and at the final he was on the podium with the winning team, Chelsea, and he's often in the centre of things and can dominate proceedings.
Well, listen, he's the Commander-in-Chief of the United States of America, and in terms of FIFA, the team, the winning team, invited him to the stage because they said it would be the greatest honor of their life if the President of the United States could present the Club World Cup trophy, you know, to the team. And by the way, I was there, I was watching it. Mm-hmm. The place went crazy. And there's no one that's done more for a sport than him. And I think in time that will be rewarded. I truly do.
That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, and I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.